Amen. Thank you, choir. Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this beautiful Lord's Day morning. It is a beautiful day out there, a beautiful morning, and the sun's shining early, and all the color and the leaves and so forth. It's a beautiful morning out there. And it's a great morning to be here in the church house with you to worship our great God and our wonderful Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to each and every one of you. As you look around, you see we have several absent. We'll share some thoughts about them after a while. We have several that out this morning that are ill. But we're glad that you're here and looking good, and we're just together going to praise God and give Him thanks for His wonderful, wonderful things that He does for us day by day by day. I'm going to share with you from Psalms 4. It reads like this. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your heart, with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, but put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up thy light and thy contentance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that thou corn and thy wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. That's the kind of God we serve.
Our hymn of worship this morning, usually number 308, sing but one verse this morning. We don't have it together, boy. And Doodlebug will have a prayer.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stayed within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Bless us with it. We can be in the house this morning. We're thankful for all the blessings that you bestowed upon us. We pray that the things that we say and do this morning will be pleasing unto thy sight. We ask that you be with the ones that are sick and can't be here this morning, that you bring them back to hell so they can join us here at the church. Be it then as you bring this morning's message and forgive us when we fail. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now for communion, I'm going to use 374. 374. Sing the first verse.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want you forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
As we gather around the Lord's table this morning and read from Matthew chapter 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and offered to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant that was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink of you with you in my Father's kingdom. Let us pray.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for another privilege you've granted us together in your house on the Lord's Day. As you come around your table, we thank you now for the loaf and the cup. It represents a broken and bruised body, the one that died on the Calvary's cross for our many sins. Be with each individual as they partake of the emblems this morning. From God, guard and direct them and save us in the end, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, you bless us so abundantly, and we have a plenty, dear God, and you bless us that we enjoy all the good things that you have for us. So out of our plentiness, we bring, Heavenly Father, a portion of that back, and that be used here to further the gospel here in this community and to benefit the church here, Heavenly Father. Thank you for those who are so loving, kindly, and generous, Heavenly Father, with their means to support the work here at Porter. We thank you for it. Ask your blessing upon each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. And once again, good morning to each and every one. So good to see you here. We're so glad to see two of our two grandsons here. Welcome. And we have a birthday coming up this week. And happy birthday to you, Tina. I didn't think you had birthdays anymore. You never look any older. Bless your heart. I know he's going to, you going to prepare a delicious meal for her, Ron? Yeah. He can do that. He can do that. Okay. Where's Doodle? Doodle's back there. Doodle, I'm going to, for today, for our Bible study, we're going to be here at 4 o'clock. Is that suit everybody? Anybody have any problem with that? We'll see how that's going to work. We have some things that we're planning on doing that's going to take part of the afternoon. That's why we didn't want to try it. But this evening we're going to have kind of a good study. We want you to be here. And in fact, we're studying from the book of chapter 6 of the book of Romans, and it has to do Paul's explaining baptism. So we're going to have a good study on that. We worked on that last week. We're going to study that over again tonight. It would benefit every one of us to be in that study and study that a little bit. It would benefit each and every one here, I'm sure. So we invite you at 4 o'clock to come to our Bible study this evening. Okay. Thank you, folks, for the Friday night food and fun food fellowship. Even though we had several party poopers, we had a great time and the food was great. We had homemade Cincinnati chili and always had that good big plate of potatoes fixed in a special way that Mike does that. And Doodle had his fried fish and we had all kinds of stuff. Man, I mean, we just had food. It's so good. Thank you. And we just had a good time together. It's always good when God's people comes together and has a special time together and just enjoys each other. And some of us played some games. We had fun with that. But most of you just talk and enjoy each other. You know, you don't get too much time on Sunday like this. We come and we go and we don't have much fellowship or to share and talk and enjoy one another. But that's what Friday night is about. That was, we have time to enjoy one another and talk about some of the things taking place in our life and share things that are taking place, and it's good. So we appreciate that very much. Let's see, what else is taking place? All right, as we turn to our prayer list, we noticed that several are absent this morning, but we want to keep them in our mind. And Bobby Parker, while I think about it, he passed away. We've had him on our prayer list for quite some time. And he's had ups and downs. He's had good days and bad days, but I'm glad he was able to enjoy the things that he did, the times that he did enjoy. And so God be with that family as they prepare for the funeral and so forth. Kathleen, as you notice, not on the piano this morning. Her and Bergen both have got a cold of some kind. And Pauline is not feeling up to par to be with us. And who else is absent? We got missing here this morning. But we're so glad that you're here. And we just pray that Virgil. One of our elders is very ill. And I tell you what, pray earnestly for Virgil and encourage him in every way you can, because he lost a dear brother. And that's weighing heavy on him. and that will be a hindrance. That Ben's, he is not well. He's having this flu, cold and so forth, and those things together can be bad for him. So let's pray and try to encourage him in any way that we can, because he has a great loss, as some of you people have. But Virgil and Bobby were just brothers. Okay. And also we have Shirley Hawkins-Smith and Betty Keetering. They were in a bad wreck, and so we pray that they will be well. Again, all the folks on our prayer list here, and remember them, and remember the caregivers that care for those who can't care for themselves, the nation's leaders and all the service people, all the nursing homes that care for those and the assistant living people. And then we have here a note sent to us here on our prayer list, Carol Wilson. And we was just talking to her the other day. She was here, and we having a good time together. And Geraldine Jones. All right. And, oh, okay, that's, yeah, I know who that is. And so pray for those. Add them to your prayer list. And then to share one note, I guess, that happened here, because it's happened to several. Maxine, I forgot his name.
Austin.
Young man by the name of Austin. In fact, he's, in his 20s? 23. Austin, our granddaughter, Amber, took Austin, and her husband, took Austin in during his high school years in Walton, because of his family wasn't good for him at all. Took him in and helped him through high school. He joined the Marines. He spent a term in Afghanistan. Just a few months back, came home from Afghanistan, and he couldn't really cope with it. And he had along with his family, he has a stepfather and his mother, and they just not good for him. And dealing with Afghanistan, decided to leave it all. And so for those people, and not only for him, but for young people like that, man, it's tough. So pray for them, and pray for all the service people that are coming home from those things. And Joe says that he shared with him some things in Afghanistan that he just couldn't hardly stand. And so it's tough, it's tough. But each and every one of these people on our prayer list, it's important that we pray for them, regardless of what their difficulty is or what they're going through. It's a great concern to them. And so it ought to be a concern to others, to us, and keep them in our prayers. And if there's other things that you might do of encouragement of any kind, please do that. And then for each other this morning, you're looking good and strong this morning. You're here, and just God has blessed us with such a cheerful bunch of people. But look around and pray for each other, because everyone here has things they have to face with and sometimes it's not easy. So pray for one another, will you? God is good. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. He's so good about that. Let us go to Him in prayer.
For a prayer hymn, we'll use number 19, sing the first verse, and Jerry will have her prayer. So stand. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other
us each and every day of our lives. We thankful that we have the opportunity to lift those up to you, that we know that you know their needs and you'll take care of those needs. Again, Father, thank you for the many blessings you give us. I pray that you'll be with us and depart from this place to our respective home. Keep us safe and healthy until the next time we meet again. Again, Father, forgive us for our shortcomings and mistakes. For these things we pray in your Son's heavenly name. Amen. Amen.
The invitation hymn be number 325, 325.
There are things as we travel this earth shifting sands that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and the earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, and now life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and the earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross.
Thank you, Michael and Sierra. One thing I wanted to say and I forgot was, I want to thank you people. I forgot the words I was going to use for that, but you never fail to surprise me. You always do such a wonderful job, and so many people told me, and I want to really personally also thank you. They told me to thank you, good people, for the meal that you prepared there Tuesday. Thank you for doing that. You folks just do a great work for people that needs encouraging. Thank you for that. How many of you talk to yourself? Yeah. That's great. You know. If you don't talk audibly, you talk to yourself inwardly, don't you? You got it in your mind and so forth and such. And, you know, I talk to myself a lot, especially when I want some expert advice. Talking to yourself, that's not all bad. It's not crazy, people, you know. Talking to yourself is okay. The answering back is what's kind of risky, you know. And, you know, so talking back, you know. And so I was looking for some things, and I was looking for a little thing that might make you laugh about talking to yourself. And Keith's not here this morning, and so I can't use it, I guess. As I was looking, I found this thing I wanted to share with Keith, really. And but maybe you might take it home to him. I found this. I don't know whether you do. He might take it home. Because, you know, I wanted to share with Keith, as I was looking for some little old thing I wanted to say to, you know, to get a laugh for me in the country, I run across this thing, and I thought, boy, this Keith might want to know this. And I found this thing, and so you tell him, I'll share it with him if he wants to know. And it said, you know, 5 ways to deal with somebody who talks too much. Now, Keith would have got that good. All right. But anyhow, talk to yourself. Our lesson this morning, our message this morning is from Psalms 106. And I didn't put the verses in there, but we're going to use the first 6 verses. And what it is, it's David talking to himself. David talks to himself. And he reads like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within thee. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgetteth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. We are now in November, and November is what the nation calls Thanksgiving month. It is a time when we as a nation take one day out of the year to give thanks for what God has done for us or is doing for us. But boy, don't you think that we ought to have more than one day a year for us to give thanks to the Lord? You know, I remember when I was going to school, we used to have Bible reading, prayer, and so forth every morning. And so it was giving thanks, you know, for the things of God and such. And I would that we would have more days, that people would take more days to give thanks to the Lord God. What a blessing that would be for our nation. Wouldn't you think that we should have more days than that and to be blessed? That we ought to focus our thoughts on the goodness of God. It seems like there's so much focus on what's bad going on and the negative things of that's happening and so forth. And if we'd focus on the good things, I think a lot of the bad things would just disappear. They would go away. They wouldn't happen. And so we ought to focus on the goodness of God and offer gratitude at least once a day for what God is doing for each and every one of us. And I hope you do. I hope you personally take a time to do that. We come together as a church, and every time we gather, we have a prayer somewhere along the line, and we're thanking God for his goodness. And we're here this morning to thank God for his goodness, how he has blessed us, and you people in the past week have received such good blessings. You're here this morning rejoicing in the fact that God has been good to you and thanking him for it. We ought to do that quite regularly. But I want to look at this psalm and see some things in this psalm here to remind us. We've been in Psalms 103 probably a lot of times. I know that some people keep track of where the messages come from and so forth. If Jenny was here, she'd tell me how many times I've preached from 103, from Psalms 103. And I know it's more than probably, I can count on my fingers probably. But that's nevertheless, we can always get something good out of there, can't we? And so as we look at it this morning, I want to see this. You know, first of all, in verse 1 here, that we see that, notice David, he's under a heavy obligation, really, within himself. He's under a heavy obligation to give thanks to God, to praise God. And that's what he says. He praised God for the good things that he gives him. And he's under such an obligation, he just feels like he can't give it all from his lips. And he cries out, you know, from my whole being, I want to be able to praise God from you know, they talk about bringing things up out of your lower bowels and so forth. But so the psalmist said, with every ounce of strength within me, all over my whole self, I want to praise you, God, for your goodness. And that's praising God, and that's giving him thanks. That's giving him thanks that he deserves, certainly. And he says, all that is within me, here that I want to thank you and praise you for your goodness. And we should be grateful in remembering the benefits of God. He says that I should not forget the benefits God has given and done for me here. David calls them to remembrance, and we ought to call them to remembrance often. You know, because if we don't call them to remembrance, you know what, we will forget them. How many of the good benefits have you forgotten that God has done for you and is doing for you? We want to remember them. And the psalmist says, I just don't want to forget God for all the benefits. I want to praise you for all your goodness, all the things you've done for me, all the things you're doing for me. I want to praise you for them. David understood where all his blessings come from. That's one of the problems we have in life, isn't it, with many people. They don't understand where all their blessings come from. And they want to say self. They want to say from somebody else and so forth. But if we were like David, if we realized that all good and perfect gifts comes down from heaven from the Father, we certainly would have a greater praise for he who gives those wonderful things, wonderful gifts. David understands that it all comes, and from the depths of his heart, from his every part of his being, he wants to praise God for that. Can't you just feel the emotions of David? I try to feel a little bit how David could feel as he realizes what he's had here with what God is doing here. And you can feel the emotions as he praises God with all his heart. It just takes strength. Your muscles tighten and you feel in your veins and so forth. You just, the energy that you want to muster up to just praise God in any and all ways that you can from this being for his goodness here. You know, his words are life. His words are not dry and stale as there are many in many churches today. He is praising God with all of his heart. His words are full of life and energy, exciting about what God is doing for you. I like to see people who are excited about what God is doing for them, how he's blessing them and so forth. And you just can't stop. When you realize what God is doing for you, you just can't stop from praising him, can you? You just got to shout out, oh, how great thou art, you know. Sing that song here. And so we feel him. David was serious when it came to praising God. And I think we ought to be serious about it too. I think oftentimes we see some worship service taking place and it just seems like it's just a thing that's so loosely done and so forth, and there's just not a lot of seriousness about it. And when it comes to praising God, I think we need to be very serious about what we're doing and the praise that we give to him, because God is so good to us and he's worthy of our praise. And David was so grateful for the blessings of the Lord that he could just not help himself. You know, when you start to thinking about what God is doing, I mean, you're going to find yourself, don't you? Don't you find yourself, you start to thinking about what God has done for you, what he's done for you, and what he has in store for you. I mean, you just almost start shouting, don't you? You could be like David. You could dance around a little bit with joy that God is so good to you. David wants to make sure that he is exuberant in expressing his thanks here. And so the consideration he has his songs of praise. And I think with our songs, we ought to, you know, have the energeticness as we sing those song praises to God. And then verse 3 and 5, we see a real healthy relationship here between David and God. And that's what we need, a good, healthy relationship. One of his benefits is here, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. What a benefit from God. You see, you can't experience the goodness of God if you don't have your forgiveness. Your sins are not forgiven. You're loaded down with that baggage, and you can't experience the goodness of God. So the psalmist says, who forgiveth all my iniquities. So he knows his relationship is healthy, and he's going to experience these good things that God has for him. His sins is pardoned, and without the pardon of sins, we just cannot enjoy the good things of God. He says he heals all of our sicknesses. Now, I don't think David is saying this specifically here. He might be thinking of God healing him from some sickness back, and that could be there. But I think it has me to think that he's talking about the soul, and that's what he says. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I think he's talking about the diseases of the soul, the spiritual things, the corruptions of nature that he's talking about here, more so than the physical. But I think there's great healing in praising God. I've experienced that. And some of you can testify to the fact that the praise that you have given to God has helped you in your healing process and many times. But again, I say, I don't really think that is what David is referring to here, even though we do know that David had many difficulties and we could visualize that he had a sickness that God lifted him up out of, and he might be thinking about that. But I think mostly he's thinking, because he's talking to his soul, he's thinking about those things as there's corruption there. And David is talking about the soul, when he's telling it that God heals the diseases of the soul, and here's what the diseases of the soul. Does the soul have sin? Oh, yes. Being the chief among them, sin is the chief among them. And here I've listed some, and I want to share with you. Does the soul have diseases? It sure does. There's fears of depression. There's anger. There's hate. There's lust. There's jealousy. There's pride. There's greed. And it goes on and on and on. So these soul diseases can be traced back to the fall of mankind, and they deal with them, the falling of nature, the effect of sin. But through Jesus Christ, we can have our permanent forgiveness. So that's what David is seeing there, that God has forgiven him. We have been forgiven our sins through Christ Jesus. Those who have received Jesus, those who believed in him, those who have had their sins washed away by being buried with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism and such, is a great relief. And so he recognizes that. And through Jesus, God can permanently cleanse us and heal the soul. And so oftentimes it is a sick soul that brings physical sickness. And if you can get the soul healthy, you'll probably experience a greater physical health. And David recognizes that. And Psalms 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. That's the God we have. The cure for all of our diseases to the soul is accepting Jesus Christ. That through the mercy that God had upon mankind and gave his son, and we have pardon through Jesus Christ. And then in verse 4, he says here, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness, he says here. Who redeemeth us? That is, he saves us. And I think what he's talking about here, from the dangers that we face in life, but also I think he says is using here because of what it says, that from destruction, is he saves us from the grave, from death and hell, is really what is meant here also, I think. Not only the fact, but I think it's fair to say that he redeems my life from destruction. There's a lot of things that destroys people. Boy, this last week, if you've read some of the news or heard in some of the news, I haven't read, but I've heard it and so forth, and then read it, some of it, where that there has been, I counted them up this morning, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 young people and an adult has been run down by a car, 3 sitting at a bus stop, and says, and then I read last week also that a second grade child waiting on the school bus had a hit and run driver. When the school bus driver stopped to pick up the child, he had been hit and run away and died. And so many lose their life from accidents and so forth, accidents or whatever you want to call them and so forth. But I think also David is saying the destruction that comes upon us, he saves us from destruction. And also the meaning falls over there in the grave also. That's where the corrupt gets destructed and so forth there. So we see that in that. He redeemeth my life from destruction. That is, who saves it from death and exposing the danger that attacks us, the diseases that strikes the soul, that causes physical destruction. He crowns us, he says here, and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, what a merciful God we have. He crowns us. Look, because he forgives us of our sins, because he gives us a relationship here with him, because he heals our souls, your diseases, then we see life meaningful. You know, it's such a shame that so many people, and Austin I mentioned here, that he just couldn't grasp the fact that, you know, that there is more to life than what he was living, and that God had greater things. I just wish he could have got to somebody that could have helped him in a way there. But you see, because not only service people, but there's just a lot of people, period, that doesn't have any meaning for life. No purpose at all. They're just living and they're just existing, not enjoying. Don't realize what they have or what they can have through the Lord Jesus Christ, where you people are experiencing those good things from God, you know. So he crowned us with love and steadfast love and mercy here. He keeps us, keeps your life from going waste. Going waste. How many people waste their years of their lives on things that in the long run don't count for anything? And there's nothing wrong with having things. I've said that many times before, and I really am not against people of, because God wants us to progress, God wants us to profit, God wants us to enjoy good things. But when those good things take the place of the godly things, then there's a problem there. Our life is usually just wasted away. People spend their days pursuit of the temporal blessing things, and they wake up someday empty. I've known some people like that. I've known some people who have done nothing but to try to gain and gain and gain and gain. And you know, when they finally think they have gained enough and they're going to stop and retire, they die. I told a story here a long time ago about a fellow that had worked and worked. He built this mansion and so forth, and I graded the yard for it and so forth. It was quite a mansion over in Madison, Indiana years ago. And quite a mansion. And boy, he was so excited, so enthused about moving in that mansion. And he said, boy, he'd worked so hard all of his life, and that's what he wanted. He wanted to settle down in the mansion and so forth and live the rest of his life. You know what? He didn't move in. He didn't move in. He died. So all that work was for naught. Nothing. Nothing. Wasted away. God gives his people purpose for living. And I hope that you have found your purpose. If not, please get informed for your purpose. God has purpose for everybody, for everything. And so he gives people purpose in living. He gives meaning to life. He keeps our lives from going waste. And our lives are lived with eternal purpose. We're not here just for the things of this life, even though God gives us so much. And so many of us, and I look around and see all you people, and I've been around you, all of your homes and so forth, and I see how you're blessed. You have nice homes, nice things, and so forth. Nothing wrong with that. I still say that God wants us to have things, nice things. God doesn't want you living in a cardboard box out under the viaduct somewhere. He teaches that in the book. Seek him, and you'll have these. Seek the Lord and you'll have these good blessings that he has. Live the godly life and you'll have the things, good things God has for you. That's promised to you. And God wants to give them. He out of his steadfast love and out of his mercy, he looks up on us and gives to us what we don't deserve. What we don't deserve. Verse 5. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things. See, there it is, isn't it? He satisfies you with good things. He who is thankful for what God is doing and what God has done for him, he satisfies with more good things. Satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that that youth might be renewed like an eagle's. And mentioned out on this morning news, mentioned about the vultures that live to be so old. But there's great stories about the eagle that they live a long life and so forth. And he renews the youth here like an eagle. And I went back and read the story, and many of you know the stories about the eagles and how when they get old, well, their beak grows out and they can't eat and so forth. And that old eagle will go to a rock and beat that beak off until he gets it beat off so he can eat again. And he moults every year. And that molting and the feathers all fall out. And springtime, he gets new feathers and such. And new, he's revigorated. Is that the word for it? Revigorated. And he flies off into the glorious wonder of the Lord and so forth. And that's what kind of a little illustration of what he does here. He renews our strength. In our old age, he renews our strength and takes away. In our old age of sin, he renews us in the newness of life, I think we could say, and gives us, invigorates us with it. You know, it's so good to see elderly people who are excited about the Lord, you know. You see so many that think, well, boy, I've done my thing, and that's all I'm going to do. I'm just sitting around and die. No, but it's so good to see people who are up and serving the Lord and praising the Lord is way up in the years, and it's great, you know. And it goes back to what this verse here, you know, I think, through all of our old sins, he's killed them away, and he's given us life into the Lord. It's great, and we renewed our strength here. It's a beautiful story about the eagle, and if you haven't read it, you ought to read it, and that has a real analogy to what God does for mankind, what he does for mankind. So it is Christ that takes away from us our old age of sin and death and gives us new life in himself, you know, invigorates us with his spirit. Remember now, David is speaking to his soul. Remember, he's speaking to himself. He's talking to himself. He's getting he speaks to himself. And he's saying that one of the benefits of being God's people is that that when we are old, get this, Omar, he's talking to some of us, he says, when we are old, we'll not have to look back upon our lives and regret, you know, if we live for the Lord. Here's a man that's been in, if he had a Sunday school pen forever, every year, he's been a hundred percent attendance, he'd trip over it. You know, he served the Lord. And I think it's fair to say that you could ask Omer, and I'm sure he'd say he's not had any regrets from serving the Lord all those years. As old as I am, and I'm glad that I got to serve him as long as I have, and many other folks around here. And I like the fact, you know, that he's speaking to his soul here, and he says the benefits of the Lord, and old age, you know, we can still rejoice, and we can still be beneficial to the Lord regardless of our age and how many years we've walked upon the earth. God gives us satisfaction, you know. I'm not pleased with myself all the time at all, but God gives me satisfaction in life. He asks me, and sometimes when I'm feeling a little bit on the downside or somewhere, and I try not to do that, but everybody gets there sometimes, and God says, you know, why are you there, Benny? He said, you know, he said, look at what I've allowed you and used you and so forth. And he said, just be satisfied with that, you know. And so if you've lived your life for the Lord and encouragement and so forth, regardless of your age and how old you get, be satisfied serving the Lord. He's blessed. And in verse 6, as we finish here, it says, and the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You know what that means? Hey, the wicked's going to get their due, and you're going to get your reward. That's really what he's saying. And he says, so, you know, this is what's going to happen. God is plenty in mercy, and he will save, and the sinner will be destroyed. Those who have named the Lord will be saved, and the sinner who has rejected God's gracious gift is going to be destroyed. That's all through the scripture. And I think David wants that to be well known to him soul. So remember this, that God is going to reward everybody according to their work, to what they did. I don't mean work by physical hands, but what you've done for the Lord and what you've done toward the Lord and how you have answered to the Lord. You're going to answer for that. God executes righteousness and judgment. David describes the greatness of God in his work to an individual. He also shows his greatness to being greatness to a nation. And I think our nation is serving, seeing some of that. Also, the nations who are so ungodly, and we've seen that in the scripture, the ungodly nations have not done well. But the nations who have sought God have been richly blessed. And I hope and pray that America continues to seek God. God's people will be enough that we'll keep on going in a good and godly way. David said, I will praise him. I will praise him with all that's within me. My total being cries out praise to God, David said. Oh, soul, hear me, David says. Cry out your praise to God. That means praise him with all my attitudes, all my actions, with my family, with my finances, with my words and with my work, my religion and my relationships, my voice and my vocation, my church and my children, my hobbies and my habits. I will praise him, David says. I will praise him, not only in word, but also in deed. I will praise him with everything that is within me, he says. I'll praise him for all the benefits I receive from him. When was the last time that you stopped and considered the benefits of God? When is the last time that you just felt from the depths of your being and you felt the strain of your muscles and the vigor come and say, God, I praise you for your goodness. Oh, God. If you haven't, you can have the chance to do that right now. The opportunity is which will stand. First verse only of our invitation to him. Have thine own way. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. It's so good to see you here, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. God is so good to us, and he deserves our attention. He deserves our thanks. Let us live this week a life of thanksgiving for the blessings that God gives us, the benefits we receive. Dear God, you are so gracious, so good to us. Our Heavenly Father, you're above all others. Help us to be thankful. Help us to be so grateful, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful things that you have done for us, especially through your Son, Jesus. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be so thankful to Jesus. Help us to live day by day, Heavenly Father, as examples of Christ. Now, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the folks that are here. They're so encouraging to see them week after week to come and honor you and to praise you and to seek you, dear God. So we pray, Heavenly Father, you'll bless each and every one of them. As we leave this place, Heavenly Father, might you grant us safety through the week. Might we experience good things from your hand of love. But most of all, let us never forget to praise you for the benefits that we have in this life and the glorious things we're going to enjoy in a future life. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen. God bless you. I'm so glad the part of the family of God.